The First Testament lesson comes from the book of Leviticus. In chapter 19, it talks about ritual and moral holiness. I'll be reading starting at verse 13. Let us listen to what God is asking of us today. You shall not defraud your neighbor. You shall not steal, and you shall not keep for yourself the wages of a laborer until morning. You shall not revel in death or put a stumbling block before the blind, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not render an unjust judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, partial to the poor, and or defer to the great. With justice you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer among your people, and you shall not profit by the blood of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not put hate in your heart, any one of your kin. You shall not reprove your neighbor, or you will incur guilt yourself. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against any of your neighbor, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall keep my statutes. You shall not let your animals breed with a different kind, and you shall not sow your fields with two kinds of seed, nor shall you put a garment made of two different materials. The word of the Lord.
We turn our attention now to one of the most, if not the most, famous of all of Jesus' parables. We're in the 10th chapter, and we are beginning in verse 25 and going through verse 37. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Just then, a lawyer, meaning a religious lawyer, stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what's written in the law? What do you read there? The man answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, the man asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the same place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The word of the Lord. He is famous. Famous, I tell you. His name is on, and I actually had to make a list of this, his name is on hospitals, wellness centers, societies, networks, medical centers, counseling centers, nursing homes. There are laws named after him, and on a regular basis, his name is on the lips of newscasters. Who is this famous man about town, bon vivant? It's Mr. Good Samaritan. That if you Google Good Samaritan, you'll find the story, but you'll also find Good Samaritan hospitals, wellness centers, societies, networks, medical centers, nursing homes, counseling centers, including Samaritan Counseling that operates out of our building. You'll find Good Samaritan laws that are intended to protect passersby, that if they help out in case of an accident, that they can't be sued. And then every time, or I would guess almost every time on the news, when you hear of someone who, say, stops to help someone on the side of the road or jumps in need, they'll say, and a Good Samaritan stopped and helped out. Now, what's fascinating about this is I would guess that the majority of Americans probably don't actually know the story of the Good Samaritan. But they know the Good Samaritan. They know that it has become synonymous with someone who does acts of kindness. So this morning, since we're going to be looking at this text, I just want us to quickly walk through it again. So that we're all on the same page when we're talking about Mr. Good Samaritan. So let's begin. The story opens not with a question about doing good things. The story opens with a religious lawyer, probably a Sadducee, coming to Jesus and saying, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" Testing Jesus. Does Jesus know the right answer? Well, Jesus being Jesus says, "Well, you tell me first." And the man says, "Will you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and your neighbor as yourself?" And Jesus says, "Great, sign on, you're good to go." But then the attorney, not quite satisfied, he says to justify himself, meaning he has a vision for what it means to love neighbor. Almost everyone would be set with, okay, loving God, but he wants to know, who is my neighbor? And he has what I would argue is a rather narrow view of neighbor. Because in this period of time, in Second Temple Judaism, that for especially sort of Jews who were scholars of the law, they would have narrowed down who is neighbor. So Jesus, rather than making sort of rabbinic arguments, decides he's going to tell a story. And the story begins with a foolish man. And a foolish man goes from Jerusalem to Jericho by himself. The road from Jerusalem to Jericho was often called the Bloody Road because chances are if you went by yourself, you would be beset with robbers. You would be beaten and abused, and you may even be killed. And so everyone listening to Jesus tell this story, they know that this guy who's made this trip is a fool. And so he's there laying half dead by the side of the road, and first along comes a priest, and this is a priest coming from Jerusalem down to Jericho, meaning this priest had, and I know all this is made up, but the people listening to the story would understand that this priest has finished his religious obligations and doesn't need to be ritually pure, but nonetheless, he just zips on by. Then comes a Levite, and a Levite is sort of a priestly assistant in the temple, who helps the priests do what the priests do in the temple. And so that Levite does the same thing. Then along comes this Samaritan. And just to be clear, Samaritans and Jews are enemies. They have hated each other by this point. They have hated each other for several hundred years. And hate is almost too nice a word for how they felt about each other. And yet here comes this Samaritan. He sees the guy by the side of the road. He goes over. He has pity on him and wants to show him mercy. So he binds up his wounds. He puts him on his donkey, takes him to a Holiday Inn Express, gets him checked in, hands the clerk his credit card and says, charge whatever it costs. And then Jesus asked the religious attorney, the religious lawyer, "So who was neighbor? Who was really the neighbor in this story?" And the man understands. He gets the parable. And so he says, "The one who showed mercy." Now notice, he can't even bring himself to say the Samaritan who showed mercy. There's a lot of stuff going on there. But he says, "The one who showed mercy." Okay, so now, with that story being told, it would seem to make sense then that all of these organizations, hospitals, wellness centers, societies, counseling centers, are named Good Samaritan, right? Because the Good Samaritan was the neighbor who did the right thing. And so what does it mean then to be a Good Samaritan? It means first to see everyone as your neighbor. That's part of this, right? You should see the Samaritan as your neighbor. You should see the Jew as your neighbor. And then it means to show mercy and to show kindness and to act on their behalf. Right. So for most of my career until this week, I would have said that sums up this entire parable. We all know what it means. We can go home. But as I was looking again at this story, what I discovered is that's just one of the two lessons that I believe Jesus is trying to teach in this parable. That there's actually a second lesson. And that second lesson is, how do we make someone our neighbor? How does someone become our neighbor? Now, I think we all sort of generically believe that, yes, everyone is my neighbor, right? That's part of this story. Everybody's my neighbor. But the question is, how do we actually make someone our neighbor? So let's go back into the story and take a second look here. All right, so Jesus, when he tells this story, is he's just such a wonderful storyteller. So when Jesus is telling this story, he lays out language that should cause us to stop and see things. So let's begin. So first of all, the man's foolish, right? He's foolish. He went down by himself. Now, along come, you know, probably people in groups. Along comes the priest. And notice, where is the priest? Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, meaning the man by the side of the road, he passed by on the other side. The Levite comes along, and the Levite passes by on the other side of the road. Now, listen to the Samaritan. But the Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. This is step one of making someone our neighbor. He came near him. See, now let me just say, the people traveling on the other side of the road, that would be sort of one's natural reaction to seeing this guy, this man who's been beaten and half dead. But notice that to say that the Samaritan came near means that when he first shows up, he's on the other side of the road. But instead of staying on the other side of the road, he comes near him. And then when he comes near him, this is what it says. But the Samaritan, while traveling, came near him. And when he saw him, notice, to see means to recognize something in a person. It doesn't just mean, oh, look, there's somebody by the side of the road. To see, in this sense, means to recognize something about this person. And what it means is that when God sees someone, God sees within them the image that of God, a human being who is worthy of God's love. That's kind of how it's used biblically. And so what it says is, when he moved near him, he saw this man as if seeing him with new eyes, that here is a beloved child of God. And when he saw him, he was moved with pity. See, it's only after he comes across the road and moves near that he sees in him the image of God, and he has pity on this man. And then he went to him. He went to him. And so it's sort of this three-step process. He moves from one side of the road closer and sees him and sees the image of God in him. And then once he sees the image of God in him, has pity on him. And then he moves even closer to touch him and bind up his wounds and put him on the donkey and take him to an inn, and check him in, and vouch for him. See, the way someone becomes our neighbor is if we are willing to move from the other side of the road, literally into the space occupied by those who are in need. Now, you may say, well, John, why does that matter? I recognize everybody's my neighbor. I mean, come on, how many of you would say everybody's your neighbor? Right. Okay, I mean, this is part of what the parable is about. Everybody's our neighbor. But the issue with human beings is we don't always make everybody our neighbor. As I said, it's one thing to intellectually agree with the point, right, that everybody's our neighbor. It's another thing to actually make people our neighbor. Because the human tendency is to segregate. And let me be clear, this is a human tendency. It's not just an American tendency or a Detroit tendency. It's a human tendency. Right, the old saying, birds of a feather? Think about it. We tend to want to gravitate towards people like ourselves, as I talked about last week. So we segregate ourselves by race and religion and by ethnicity and by class and by income level and by the schools we go to and by the neighborhoods we live in and by ability or disability. We segregate ourselves all over the place. And so though we truly believe that everybody's our neighbor, because we have segregated ourselves and we are living and walking on one particular side of the road, it becomes hard for us. It becomes hard for us to actually make people who are different from us our neighbor. Which, by the way, I would argue is why Jesus tells this parable. Because it was just as hard for those people back 2,000 years ago as it is for us. As I said, this is a natural human tendency. But this is what Jesus challenges us to do. He challenges us not just to intellectually agree. He challenges us to actually cross the road. So why did the Christian cross the road? To make someone our neighbor. And I have to say, this is one of the gifts that I think everybody's church gives to all of us. Our opportunities to cross the road. We have the opportunity just to cross the road when we go down to Alcott and tutor or help in the library or do shop and drop. We have the opportunity to cross over the road for those of you who've been volunteering to take food to families in Pontiac, because it's more than just anonymous drop-off. Many of you have gotten to know the families that are there. You've gotten to know who you're delivering to. You've crossed the road. That's what we did when we sent our group, the last group, to Kenya, was we worked hand in hand with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Kenya, building a school and a church. You know, this is one of the gifts of this community of faith, is that we understand it's more than, there's more to being neighbor, to being good Samaritans, than just acknowledging it. And so, and the other thing is, I know many of you do other things in which you do that, in where you cross the road. And you show the love and mercy of God in Jesus Christ to folks that normally aren't in your circle of friends. And so that's my challenge to you all for this week, is to ask yourselves, how am I crossing the road? How am I crossing the road to be the Good Samaritan? To show mercy, to show kindness and compassion that has been shown to me, to us. And so I hope you will just let that rattle around in your brains over this week and think, here's how I am and here's how I can. Cross the road, draw near, and show mercy. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you not only call us to be those good Samaritans, but that you show us how to do it. Help us to live into this parable this day and always. In Christ's name, amen.